You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Life Healthcare Group Holdings Limited also released their results to the 6 months ended 31 March 2026. This is the first half of their new financial year. The business saw an increase of revenues by about 2.4%. Normalized earnings per share increased by 8.4%. The business was able to declare an interim cash dividend of 23 cents per share, a little over 9% more than the first 6 months of the previous financial year. I'm joined on the line by Chief Executive Officer of the business, Peter Wharton-Hood, to take a look at the performance of Life Healthcare and see what to make of it. Peter, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. A stronger start to the new financial year. Are you optimistic of the year's performance thus far, or were there some of the other factors that spilled over from last year into the start of this year?
Jimmy, it was good quality earnings because we had margin improvement, but we did have a hiccup in the first quarter where Sizwe House Medical Aid went into curatorship. And as a result of that, their patients couldn't be admitted for elective procedures. But that's certainly dampened our revenue for the 6 months and has put us below expectations, despite the fact that we've managed to get margin to improve in the business, which is a good sign.
Peter, can we take a look at where the business is at the moment? I mean, we are quite a bit of the way through into the second half of the financial year, and I can imagine some of the factors that would have been influencing the business that you've alluded to, but also factors around macroeconomic conditions might create a different environment for the business to operate in over a full year basis. The first half of the year wrapping up quite nicely, the business on solid ground. Has that momentum translated into the second half?
Well, we can't make back the paid patient days that we lost as a result of the medical aid curatorship, but we have responded by adding additional specialists to our platform. They are the revenue generators of our business. They bring the patients into the hospitals. And we managed to recruit in the 6 months 97 new specialists against a full-year target of 140. So we're well on track to do that. And that augurs well for making up some of the deficit, but we're certainly not going to make up all of the deficit. The bigger macro picture, the rising interest rates, the economic pressures that consumers are feeling tend to have a slightly longer-term impact as a result of their behavioral patterns in either buying down or leaving their medical insurance behind. That remains to be seen. So I think for the full year, the way that we've looked at it, we'll only be able to grow revenue at about 2% for the full year and occupancies at about 68, which is slightly behind expectations. But we've got other projects underway inside the company aimed at improving margin, driving costs down, et cetera.
Peter, let's take a look at some of those projects and take a look at the business's cash position. I mean, still cash generative, a little over 1.3 billion rand for the first 6 months of the year. And the bank still has undrawn banking facilities, which strengthen the balance sheet even further. When you're looking at the projects and you're looking at the strategic optimizations from a business perspective, understanding that the macro factors outside the business are out of your hands, how do you start to deploy your capital? How do you start to deploy those projects and how do you prioritize?
And I think that's where Life Healthcare finds itself in a unique position. The incredibly strong balance sheet that we've created post the divestments of the previous 2 years puts us in a really strong position, as you've said. So we've got money, capital to deploy. Clearly, it's on a returns basis. The high returning projects get the priority. You can split those into two, expanding existing facilities. And those are higher returning, immediately revenue-generating projects. And we've got some ambitious plans that we've already broadcast to the market, and we're well on track to deliver that suite of projects for the year. And then we've got a greenfields project with the new build of the hospital in Paarl. We haven't built a new hospital for a little over a decade. That's really exciting. That's bricks and mortar into the ground in a fast-growing region where the demand for healthcare services is certainly apparent to us and ones that we want to satisfy.
Peter, can I get your thoughts on where the business views the national health insurance policy? We know that that's been in discussion for quite some time. And whilst those discussions are ongoing, there's very little you can do from a business perspective other than carry on with business as usual. How do you see that potential policy adjustment coming into some of your plans, some of your growth conversations as a board? Understanding that at any moment in time, we could start to have a very different conversation about the South African healthcare system.
Jerry, we've got a long-held belief, which we've stated time and time again, that there's definitely a role for private healthcare in the overall delivery of healthcare solutions in South Africa. To that extent, private healthcare, Life Healthcare included, has got unutilized capacity that's sitting inside the hospitals. We know that the public system is overburdened. We know that we can play a role collaboratively with government to solve some of those shortfalls. And it requires dialogue, it requires mature conversations, and it certainly requires more time around the table figuring out solutions than time in court, you know, having our differences adjudicated. So I'm optimistic that maturity will prevail and that the opportunity for private healthcare to collaborate with government will come to bear, and in so doing, push some volumes that are going unsatisfied in the public sector into the private sector on commercial terms, on a realistic basis and a sustainable basis that's good for healthcare, good for the citizens, good for South Africa. And that's the stance that we're maintaining, and we're open to collaboration. We've got some runs on the board with our Life in Kanisa triple P that's done with government, and we've had some recent successes in taking oncology patients, public sector oncology patients, through our oncology treatment programs, handled well. So I'm optimistic this will come right. No doubt it may just take a little bit longer than we're all hoping.
And we certainly don't know how that is going to shape up. But what we do know as we wrap up this conversation, Peter, is that the board decided to declare an interim cash dividend of 23 cents a share to shareholders. Given the healthy gearing the business currently sits with, the return on capital employed almost north of 20% at this point, the business very clear that when you're able to take care of the shareholders and able to include them in the rewards from the stronger performance, the business isn't forgetting them.
Absolutely. We are a strong cash generating business, and therein lies the investment thesis behind investing in a healthcare company. The cash and dividend returns are an incredibly important part of our capital allocation process itself, and rewarding shareholders for the risk they've taken and the trust they've placed in us.
Peter, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the remainder of the financial year, some of the risks that might be out there that you're identifying as a business that might be impacting your outlook and that might have you a bit nervous going into the tail end of the year.
Clearly, the medical schemes and how they clamp down on procedures that or authorizations that allow to happen has a direct impact on our business. They are getting stricter, and one can understand that. They're trying to contain the overall costs of care that have been delivered. So we have to keep a watching brief on that. We can't change that. But the response there too is to just dynamically keep creating more efficient delivery of care in hospitals, containing our costs, making sure that our overheads are well under control, and where we can, streamline and improve processes. So we've got to manage the stuff that we can control. And some of those external variables we respond to in the same old-fashioned way, do it more efficiently, but never, ever compromise care. The maintenance of high-quality care is what Life Healthcare stands for.
Maintaining high-quality care and ensuring that the very best of healthcare services are available to South Africans. That is how the team at Life Healthcare approaches their operating model as a business, and that is what allows them to continue to excel as the business that they are. We'll see how the rest of the year shapes up for them. All the best to you, Peter, and the team. We look forward to seeing how the rest of the year goes. Life Healthcare Group Chief Executive Officer Peter Wharton-Hood joining us to take a look at the performance of the first 6 months of their financial year and where the business sits at the moment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.